For those of you who aren't in the room right now, I'm wearing a purple gauze shirt with skirt with some embroidery on it and one of my tie-dyed shirts, and I am preparing for something called Hippie Fest. Last night I went to a chant group that meets in Virginia, D.C., and Maryland, and we gave a blessing to the sun, and we sang a lot of 60 songs dedicated to the sun, including, what's the song from Hair? Aquarius?
Change of Aquarius.
Yes, we sang that song, and it just put me in the mood of festivals and having fun, and I'm really looking forward to being out of doors at Wolf Trap and singing along and dancing. So with that, I wanted to kind of bring to your attention the fact that we're halfway through the year right now, and we've gone halfway through our planned curriculum for the year. And the first two courses that we did, self-esteem and transitions, or growing through transitions in life, were more for working on ourselves and our you know, the way we look at life and the way we feel about ourselves. And the next two courses are going to be more outwardly facing. This one is called Effective Communication, which is understanding and being understood. And the last one in this year's series is called Healthy Relationships. Now, we kind of orchestrated the way that the classes are proceeding for the year by starting with dealing with change and self-esteem, and then moving on to communications, and then lastly, healthy relationships, because we felt that this made a logical sequence. And so by the time we're ready for healthy relationships, I think we're going to be in a very good place. So this is the first in a series of six classes under effective communications. And we're going to be examining the way that we communicate with others and others communicate with us. And it's going to give us more self-awareness. It may be, for instance, that when we communicate, we have hidden agendas that we're not necessarily aware of. And this class should help us in becoming more aware. And the objective is for us to be able to speak from our deepest truths and to speak from the heart, so to speak, wherever we are. And, of course, life always helps me prepare for giving these talks by making me focus on what it is in my life that I'm about to speak about. And for myself, I've realized that communications is extremely important to me. I have a job that requires me to communicate with others quite a bit. If I don't communicate in some way or another, other people aren't going to know what they're supposed to do and when they're supposed to do it and how they're supposed to do it. And the means by which I communicate that information sometimes affects the way that they go out and they do their jobs. And communications is also important in not only our friendships and our intimate relationships, but also in groups like this, which are, you know, a form of community. We depend upon communication with others, not only when we're gathered together, but also perhaps in between. We may email or we may communicate over the phone, but communications is a thread that runs through all of our relationships, and that's why it's important to get it right. And of course, I have a lot to learn myself. Some of the things I've observed that that we do at work that I know could be improved upon, and I feel like I can help influence that, is there's a very distinct style of communication in meetings where we should listen one to each other. But frequently, there are people that will interject and they'll start talking right over another person. And that's a thing that frequently happens. And then I realize, you know, that's not necessarily speaking from the heart. So, communication is important because it's what connects us. And we all want to be heard and understood. And I think whenever I've done a communications exercise with another person, when I'm focusing on my means of delivery, I've often felt that if having another person listen to me is one of the greatest gifts that I could receive from that person. And as practitioners, that's one of the things that we're trained to do, is to sit and listen to people and to help them speak their truth. So I wanted to close with a quote from Ram Dass, which is in your material. He says, "For someone deeply trapped in a prison of thought, how good it must feel to meet a mind that hears, a heart that reassures." It's as if a listening mind is, in and of itself, an invitation to another mind to listen to. How much can it mean when we accept the invitation and to hear the world anew? And that's from the book, How Can I Help? And as religious scientists, we know that our word is, in communication, our word is the most important thing that we have. And so by focusing on effectively communicating, we also learn to increase the power of our word. And so that leads into the reading that I've got lined up for the day, done by David Gordon.
It's called Your Word is Law by Kathy Ann Lewis. Your word is law. Did that statement get your attention? A sense of profound freedom is achieved when the above statement is internalized. The truth of this statement is predicated on the truth of this month's Ernest Holmes essay, In the Beginning, in which he says, "From the word then comes forth all that appears. Each life, human or divine, each manifestation, is a different kind of word coming into expression. The great fact to dwell upon is that spirit needs nothing to help it. It is self-conscious and has all power and all ability to do whatever it wishes to accomplish. It operates simply by speaking. If the word comes first in the creative series of events with the activity of intelligence, the law, fulfilling the word in manifestation, what does this mean to us right now? It means we need to let our words be about the kind of life and world we want to bring into creation. It means 5 minutes of positive prayer won't undo a whole day of complaints. It also means every sentence we speak is an indicator of what we have to look forward to in the future. Why? Because the words we speak shape our expectations, and expectations shape what we experience. Now, some of you may be thinking about how it is that one of your relatives, a friend or yourself, has been diagnosed with cancer but never talked about it in such a way to manifest it. Well, we are all subject to the law of averages and are likely to have some stuff happen to us. But we all respond differently to crises based on our faith in God and ourselves, which has a lot to do with our self-talk. Your word is law. Also suggests that the words we speak, fully embodied and believed, will bring about the effects and conditions to match the words, even if prior or existing conditions are contrary. Ernest Holmes wrote, "We must place the word where it belongs. It is always first, before all else, in the beginning."